We come to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We see Jesus en route to the home of a man by the name of Jairus. Now, Jairus is a synagogue leader, probably in Capernaum, and his little girl is dying. And I suppose that only those who have had children who are desperately sick can really feel the pathos in his plea when he comes and asks Jesus to place his hands on her so that she will be healed and lived. And so I want us to look, beginning in verse 24, it says, "So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there." Now let's try to paint a picture here. The picture here is Jesus is walking on the very dusty roads of that area, and a great thronging kind of a crowd is gathering around him, and very likely it was 100 or more people. And the picture there is people just surrounding Jesus, pressing in on every side, trying to get a glimpse of this one that they've heard about. Maybe you remember a time when you stood in line at a movie theater. You were waiting for a popular movie and it began to get more crowded and more crowded and you were being pushed up against people you didn't know and that uncomfortable feeling of being pressed against people you didn't know. Maybe that feeling of suffocation is especially short. People know that when you're surrounded by all of these giants, the smell of women's perfume and men's cologne, and in some cases the stench of sweat. And that's the picture here. These were earthy people. They were a people of the earth. And this great crowd is going. And then in verse 25, and it says, "And a woman was there." Now, there's something significant I want us to see here, because first of all, one person is singled out of the crowd. And one of the things that we need to see is that it's a woman who is singled out in the crowd. Now, understand, in the days that Jesus walked the world, women were considered non-persons. If you look in the Muslim countries of today, that was much the attitude. It's changed very little. Women were almost viewed on a level of cattle. And yet, in the Gospels, one woman is exalted here. You know, it's interesting because you remember a commercial a few years ago. The commercial that said to ladies, it says, "You've come a long way, baby." Well, Jesus is the one who has exalted women. And even the women lepers, they have Jesus Christ to thank for that exaltation. And so this woman is seen. And something else that I think that we just need to get a hold of is that we see here that God places great value on the individual. Think about that. Do you think that you're important to God? You as an individual? You know, I am concerned. A lot of people have an idea that God is just too busy running the universe to be concerned about the individual. And I believe we live in a very depersonalized age, a very alienated age. People feel not only alienated from each other, but they feel alienated from God. And one of the expressions in the church of that alienation is the idea that God does not intervene into the lives of individuals today. But I want to tell you, if you hold to that, if you don't believe that God is concerned about you, if He's not one you can go to in your time of need, what you are implying is that God no longer cares about individuals. And I want to tell you something. If you were the only one who had ever sinned, if you were the only one who had ever lived, Jesus would have come and died on the cross for you. Somebody put it like this: Jesus loves each of us as if there was only one of us. And Jesus cares about you. And as I was meditating on this message, I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to remind somebody that may be here this morning that you've been wondering if God really cares. And I think that He wants you to know, whoever you may be, that He cares about you. And that's what I love about the beauty of this gospel story and all the gospels. It shows God's love and concern for each and every one of us, even the most desperate of us. So I want us to, as we look at this woman, I want us to try to get into her shoes a minute and get in, slip into her skin and try to feel this woman, to feel what she's feeling and look at life from her perspective. The gospel writer Mark tells us a number of things about her. First of all, she is a suffering woman. Look at verse 25. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Now, the King James says that she had an issue of blood. We don't know what it is. It was probably some kind of a female affliction, something that where she was losing blood. And think about that for a moment. It is the blood that gives us life. And I imagine because of her loss of blood, she probably felt tired every day. She probably felt drained. She probably just felt exhausted. Now, that would be bad enough. Ladies, you know what it's like to have a couple of days where you just don't feel very well. You feel drained. Try multiplying that 365 days times 12 years. That comes out to 4,380 days. Now think about that. Here is a woman, day after day after day, she's just, it's all she can do to get up out of bed, feeling like the life is just being squeezed right out of her. She's a suffering woman. Also, we learn that she is a financially destitute woman. Look at verse 26. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Medical care was not cheap then, and it's not cheap now. And after spending her entire life savings, this woman's, her suffering just keeps going on and on. It's all been for naught. For 12 years, no end. Have you ever been sick for a week or two, and it just seems like that week will never end? It just, how time seems to just slow down. Imagine what it would be like for 12 years. Now, something that can't be seen unless we kind of read between the lines here is not only is she suffering and financially destitute, but this woman, and most of all, I think, is she is a desperately lonely woman. Now, because of the nature of her disease, this woman was excluded from the assembly of God's people. She was viewed as a social pariah. Because, let me read from you Leviticus chapter 15. Because Leviticus speaks about women with these kinds of afflictions. Listen to this. When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time, other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge. Any bed she lies on while her discharge continues will be unclean. And anything she sits on will be unclean. Goes on, whoever touches them will be unclean. He must wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he will be unclean till evening. Do you see this? I mean, by the ceremonial law, she is unclean. You can't even touch anything she touches. And so it's just a whole lot easier to avoid this woman altogether. I mean, why go through the hassle of having to wash your clothes and take ceremonial baths? Better yet, just, lady, stay away. Now, can you imagine 12 years? Not being able to go into the assembly, not being able to meet with God. All of the people just kind of shunning you because she's like a leper. She may as well carry a sign that says unclean. So this woman lives in exile. Prisoners of war are coming out, and they've talked about 30 or 40 days of living in solitary confinement. And they say out of all of the affliction they've gone through, what was hardest on them at all was the isolation, the solitary confinement, that was even harder to deal with than the beatings. Think of the thousands of days that this woman lives in that kind of isolation. But look, it says, the last three words in verse 26, I think, says it all. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. She grew worse. You know, there's a time in our lives where I think we need to realize how really helpless we are. How sometimes we come to realize how powerless we are. I wonder what some of you are facing right now. What kind of long-term trial have you been going through? The good news is, this lady's life is getting ready to change. Because she's getting ready to experience the grace and the power of God in her life. And now I want you to listen closely now, because here's where we get to the very essence of the message. Look at verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Can you see her? Picture that crowd all gathered around Jesus following. It's just men and women and children. And there's this one woman. Perhaps she had the material over her head to hide her face. Maybe people knew her. She'd been in isolation so long, maybe she didn't. But here she is squeezing through the crowd, pressing on, thinking, if I can just touch Jesus, if I can just reach to Jesus. And it's her last ditch hope that if she can somehow touch even the hem of his garment, she's going to be all right. And so I can see her. I can see her pressing through that crowd. I can relate to that. I remember warming through crowds trying to get through. And I can see her reaching out, stretching out her hand, reaching, just trying to touch, and suddenly brushing just the edge of his cloak. And something happened, and it must have felt like an electrical current surging through her body. Look at this. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Something happens when you touch Jesus. When you really touch Jesus, something happens. How do you relate to this story right now? I know with me, I can remember a time when I was absolutely desperate. When with every fiber of my being, I was reaching out to Jesus, and something happened at that moment. And for me, it was a sense of overwhelming feeling of restoration. In renewal, in new birth, in new hope. I mean, it was just like the power of God just surged through my body, and I realized, I'm free! I can remember that, can you? Is that your experience? Have you touched Jesus? That renewing power of Jesus. And the other interesting thing here is this. Not only do we know that when we touch Jesus, but Jesus knows when he has been touched. Look at verse 30. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Something we need to see here. Did you know Jesus can discern the difference between the casual, accidental touch of the multitudes and the personal, purposeful touch of the individual? You see, we gather here today. We're in the presence of Jesus. We have a multitude here, but I wonder how many of you are truly touching Jesus. How many here are really reaching out saying, "Jesus, I'm reaching out to you." The result for this woman, look at this. Verse 31. "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" And back in verse 30, he said Jesus realized that power, interesting word, it's that word dunamis. We get our word dynamite. King James calls it virtue had gone out from him. The NIV just says power. But it is that Jesus says, I know that something has happened because power has gone out from me. You know, hundreds had touched the Master here. So many had flocked around him and brushed against him. Hundreds had touched him, but only one experienced power. Isn't that what we see in the church today? Think about it a moment. How many are there multitudes in the church today? How many in this multitude today have come? But how many of us can say, yes, I have touched and felt His power? Why do we have so many sickly Christians today that live in defeat and depression and they're always down? What about our homes and our marriages? Why are so many Christian homes like a battlefield today? What about Christians who can't seem to recover from the scars of the past? The hurts of the past that keep holding on and holding them down? Or Christians who have been Christians for years and yet they remain babies? We got so many babies in the church today. What about Christians that are in bondage to sin? Just can't break away from it. The problem is, there's lots of people that gather in His presence, but how many of us are touching Him, getting a hold of Him, and experiencing His dunamis, His power in our lives? Verse 31, you see the people crowding around you, His disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? Look at this. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. He knows when He's been touched. What is it that so often is lacking in our own experience? Why do we fail, even though we gather in His presence, why do we fail to experience His dunamis, His power in our life? There's something that this lady can teach us. And it has something to do with her faith, because we know from verse 34, it's her faith that heals her somehow. There's a couple things I want us to see as we close. First of all, hers was a humble faith. She knew Jesus was her only hope. You know, there's an important point that happens in lives of people who are recovering from alcohol or drugs. This is well recognized among the drug community, that it is only when you come to that place where you realize that you are powerless to affect change. It's only when you come to that place of real humility of spirit, where you acknowledge this thing is bigger than I am, that you experience the power of God. And I want to tell you something. Whatever you're facing, we don't have to live in defeat of any kind. But there comes a point where you have to say, God, this thing is bigger than me. And I have to have the humility to say, I can't fight it. I can't beat it. And Jesus, I look up to You and help me to break away. I look totally and completely to You. You see, what happens is we trust in our own reliance, our own power. Oh, we're so smart and sophisticated. But you know what? Until we become fools, the Scripture says we will never become wise. And this woman, hers was just a humble faith. She'd gone on for 12 years. Some of you are going on with problems that have been plaguing your life for years. And the basic problem is you haven't the humility to say, Jesus, I can't do it, and I need You. Second thing about this lady's faith is hers was a very determined and undistracted faith. Listen to this. She was intent on touching Jesus. And she wasn't going to let the crowd put her off. Her eyes were focused on Jesus alone. How many people in the church allow themselves to be distracted? You know, people all the time, I'm not going to go to church. There's too many hypocrites there. Well, what are you doing looking at the hypocrites? Why aren't your eyes on Jesus? See, it's so easy to be distracted. But see, this woman, she's determined. I'm going to make a connection. And you know why some of us don't resolve some of the problems in our lives? Because we're too distracted. We're too busy looking this way and that. And if we got our eyes determinedly fixed on Jesus, we would experience victory. And so this woman, she focused her attention fixedly on Jesus. Regardless of the crowd, she was going to touch Jesus. And thirdly, and I think maybe this is the most important of all, is hers was a open and honest faith. Look at verse 33. Let's start at verse 32. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Something to be seen there. It must have really been hard for this woman to tell Jesus the whole truth. To say, Lord, I have made that I am unclean, and that by touching all of these people, I have rendered them, according to the law, unclean. And Lord Jesus, even by touching you, I have rendered you unclean. Can you imagine standing a whole crowd just letting people know you're unclean? That's a hard thing to do. To stand before God and say, God, I'm unclean. It's hard to stand before God and say, God, I got sin in my life. God, I'm sleeping with my girlfriend. God, I'm sleeping with my boyfriend. God, I'm doing drugs. God, I'm cheating in my business or my taxes. God, I'm watching things on TV that I ought not watch. God, I'm reading things that I ought not read. See, it's hard to say, God, I'm unclean. God, I have nothing of any merit. But you know what? Until you come to that point where you stand before Him, a sinner condemned unclean, and are freely able to acknowledge that, you'll never, ever, ever experience the love and grace of Jesus. But look at this. She tells him the whole truth. And look at the response. Here's the gospel. He said to her, daughter. Look at that first word. I imagine most people called her unclean. Jesus calls her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. That is a wonderful, wonderful story of a woman who was so desperate and came in her bankruptcy just reaching out to Jesus. And because she had that kind of humble faith, that determined, undistracted faith, that open and honest faith, she experienced power of Jesus in a renewed life. What's your story? Have you touched Jesus? As He passes through us today, can you reach out to Him and touch Him and receive from Him? Can you have that humble kind of faith that just says, God, I need the grace of Jesus in my life? Listen, I want to tell you something. If you're a Christian, you ought to have no defeat in your life. No defeat. We should not accept defeat of any kind. And so I would encourage you today to search your hearts. Maybe you don't have an issue of blood, but what is the issue in your life? Because you can come this morning in humility and touch Jesus. And I believe this morning the Lord Jesus Christ wants to release dunamis, power, virtue, Do you have that kind of faith? To believe God that He can meet the needs of your life? Do you believe that He can heal your body, soul, or spirit? Do you believe that He can heal your marriage? Do you believe that He can heal your depressions? Do you believe that He can heal your spiritual illnesses? Do you believe He can heal your backslidings? Jesus is passing by. For those who will come and touch Him, He will allow Himself to be touched. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, it is always the many, many people gather around You, Lord, but few there are that reach out and touch You. Lord, I'm going to pray and ask that You will direct the Holy Spirit to break down some pride. Lord, there are those here this morning that just need to say, Lord, I need You. That I need Your power in my life because I can't get the victory in my own strength. Lord, there are those here this morning who like this woman, are unclean. There's sin in their lives that they know is wrong. And yet, Lord, they seem to be powerless to break out from it. But Lord, I know that You're passing through and that if we touch You, come to You in faith, that You'll release power. For those who have the humility to stand before You with the whole truth. And so, Father, I pray this morning as we give the invitation, that there will be those this morning who will say, God, I need Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. That I need Jesus as my empowering Savior to help me overcome defeat that's in my life. And Lord, I just believe today that the invitation is special, that You're going to meet some special needs this morning.